for just about everything for the outdoors, go to MidwayUSA.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Happy Friday, everybody. Today is February 3rd, 2023, and today's episode is a bonus episode with Kurt Geyer and Eric Hammon from Working Class Bowhunter. All right, welcome back to another episode of the Fall Podcast. I am your host, Aaron Blasey. Co-host David is not with me on this intro, but he was in the episode. So we recorded this at the ATA show and sat down with Eric and Kurt and just had a nice little BS session. Honestly, it was a good episode. I just want to do an intro here and get things kicked off. I got some partner reads that I want to throw out there and some thank yous to everybody. So today's episode, I don't know if I said it or not, but it's episode 256. I first want to say that everybody has thrown out a ton of thank yous, or not thank yous, but support, I should say. My response to you is thank you on the One Giant Mistake episodes. And this week's Tuesday's episode with Heath Block, my buddy Heath and Zach are here. And honestly, a lot of you guys, I'm going to say I got at least 15 or 20 different people reach out to me and say that was the best episode they've ever heard. And that means a ton. I mean, those episodes are fun to do. And it was just let your hair down, laugh, razz each other. But, you know, great deer story as well. So it was a lot of fun. I think my cheeks still hurt and after that. And Zach's box color, mustache color, is the Amazon stuff was pretty funny. But no, it was a good episode, and I just want to reiterate thank you guys for everything. That is greatly appreciated, and I'm going to echo up from David too, because he says it always. He'll text me, you know, people that send messages to him, he'll text me them, and they get the same he gets the same response from them. So it's greatly appreciated, and I thank you. So today's episode is a bonus episode, like I said, with the Working Class guys at ATA. Can't talk. But yeah, I want to get in some partner reads here real quick, and then we'll get right into this. So Helix Broadheads, guys, I still have a code. FALLHX10 will save you 10% on the new FJ4 or the FJ2. I've been getting a lot of inquiries on this, a lot of left bevel inquiries. So people that want to shoot left bevel, they don't offer left bevel right now. I know there is talks to possibly bring a left bevel out, but I don't know any further from there. So there are right bevel broadheads, the FJ4. I mean, all the broadheads have been great for me, but the FJ4 has been exceptional with the blood trails, the penetration, the accuracy. I can't say anything bad about these things. They're very good. So next is Latitude Outdoors. I've got an announcement that I'm going to make here coming up in the coming weeks. That's pretty cool and awesome about Latitude Outdoors. So Latitude Outdoors, you can use the code THEFALLPODCAST, all one word, all lowercase, to save 25% off on anything accessory-wise or Classic 2 saddles. So visit latitudeoutdoors.com. Next is Exodus Trail Cams. Now, they just launched their rival trail camp. So if you use the code LAUNCH, LAUNCH, you can save $30 off each camera while supplies last, or February 14th at midnight. So if they run out before then that code will not work. But these cameras, I haven't got one in my hand yet, but these cameras, everything I've been talking to the Exodus guys about, they are awesome. It's a price point camera, cell camera. It's called the Rival. It's MSRP $179. You can save $30 at checkout, like I said, with the code LAUNCH. The code is live while supplies last, or February 14th at midnight comes. So some pertinent facts and some specs here. It's a 0.3 trigger speed, a 70 feet detection distance with adjustable sensitivity, 30 second photo transmission, adjustable image quality on uploaded photos, crisp HD images, compatible with the Exodus SP18 solar panel, which in my opinion, that is very, very good that is compatible there, because I really like using those solar panels, and backed by their 5-year no BS warranty. Now, this camera is like a no frills camera. They kind of dialed it back to the basics. There's no screen or anything like that, but I really think this camera is going to be a step in the right direction for a lot of people, you know, and I really love the render. So, I mean, as long as it's at least that, I'm going to be happy. I think it's going to be awesome. So that is the Exodus. Use the code LAUNCH to save some money on those new Rival cameras. Vector Arrows, I believe the code still works right now. It's FALL10 at VectorCustomShop.com. Go on there, build your arrows, and get them coming so you guys can get some new arrows. And tack, I know tack's going to be starting here soon, and a lot of guys want to shoot in their basement, you know, while it's cold out, or in their garage or something like that, and just keep that muscle memory going, but get those arrows dialed in. So lastly, Garmin bow sights. Go to garmin.com, check out their bow sights. They've got a lot of cool things there, and not only their bow sights, but their watches. I use the Tactic 7, and I do have an Instinct as well, but the watches are second to none. So with that being said, I'm going to get over to this interview from ATA with these guys. Like I said, thank you guys very much for all the support and all the downloads and all the good comments, and thank you. Keep spreading the word. I greatly appreciate it. Go to iTunes, leave a 5-star rating and leave a written review. Also go to Spotify if you listen there and leave a rating. And anywhere, if you listen to Stitcher or iHeartRadio or wherever, if you can leave a review and a rating, do that, please. So with that being said, let's get over here and get to this interview from ATA with Eric and Kurt. All right, welcome back to another episode of the Fall Podcast. We're at ATA. If you guys are watching this, you might know these two ugly Yonkies here.
Yonkies.
I just made that word up. I don't even know what it is.
Is that a real word?
It applied well.
I don't know.
It was a good adjective.
Yeah. First, I want to shoot this out here, because I talked about this. I just had Micah and Nate from Missouri Woods and Water Podcast on this one.
Yep,
great dudes. And I gave them a box here.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So, and I know you guys, I mean, you guys helped Devin out a lot with these Hard Box Clubs. So,
yep.
Give me your take on it. Like, what do you think about it? Like, I think it's pretty sweet in how he's doing it.
So when Devin first pitched it to us, I was like, what are you doing? But I like it too, because a lot of guys, we're not going shopping for t-shirts. That's a way to start. I was like, it's a t-shirt club, but you're getting bonus items in every box. And it's like cool stuff you have, like that tape measure.
Yeah, let's shout them out here, because it is working class. You got working class here and CC Hunt Files. But the tape measure, open her up. This is like one of those things that like, I think I got one of these from you guys when I was at your studio or something. And I'm like, you know what? And then you kind of throw it on your desk. And then I killed a buck this year. I'm like, dude, I got a measuring tape. Like, let's go do it. The cool thing is they were white. Now they're black. I don't know why that's a cool thing.
It's a nice feeling. Yeah, I like them.
Yeah.
I like them, too. I keep it in the center console of my truck. And we go to a buddy's house. And you're like, man, I wonder what this buck's beams are. You're like, well, let's just do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to have a cable. But you need a tape measure, too, if you have a cable.
Right.
But, yeah, good flex tape.
Or when you need a tape measure for anything else, too. Not just for measuring deer.
Yeah. So. There we go. But, yeah, no, it's good. The box is awesome. It's a cool thing. Devin's killing it with it.
Yeah.
He's doing cool things with brands. Like, he's doing custom t-shirts for the box that you can't get anywhere else.
Well, that's what we did with this logo. He's like, you got a logo? I'm like, I got a rendition of one. And he's like, we pulled it out. And this is actually this antler, but it's just got a little bit of Devin flair on it.
I like
and I'm
it.
Like, That looks mean. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yep. And they're good quality shirts, too.
Really good quality shirts.
You know what I mean?
Shirts.
Like, that's exactly the kind of shirts everyone likes to wear.
Yeah. Yeah, so if anybody out there wants to sign up for a box this month or any month, in the show notes there's a link, or you can go to Hunter's Box Club and check it out too, because it's a free box. Just cover the shipping. I think it's $6.99.
Yeah, yep. I think it's cheaper than that, I think.
And that's a cheap shirt. This is not a cheap shirt. I'm just saying $6.99 is a
cheap shirt. This shirt's a piece of shit.
No, it's not. It's next level.
Yeah.
Level shirt.
It's top notch. Yeah. Price of shipping, and then if you stay subscribed, you get a shirt, and then all the bonus items are different every month. So, and he has a lot of good stuff in there, and he changes it up, and he's always looking for something new to add that's useful, not just junk that you're going to get. So, Devin's doing a really good job. I'm actually going hunting with him next week.
That's exciting. You guys going to Mexico?
Yeah, yeah.
Coos?
Coos and maybe mule deer if we can find a good one.
Okay.
So,
we'll see if you make it back.
If I make it back. So, we'll talk about that later.
Are you going to Veracruz area? Because Veracruz is...
So
iffy.
I talked to Devin. I'm like, hey man, how, like,
no, you're going to Sonora. I did talk to him. Sonora's not bad.
Yeah, but I thought we were only a few hours in the border. He's like, it's 5 hours, and I was like, how safe is it? It's not bad. We just don't want to be driving after dark. I'm like, what does that mean? I'm like, wait, what? That's a little vague.
Wait a second, what?
I'm like, all right, Devin. He's been like 10, 12 years in a row, something like that, and it's over his birthday every year. So it'll be cool to like go hang out with them. I'm like, I trust you. You've done this. Let's go. I'm up for the experience.
Yeah. For sure.
You know,
so. That's a brand new hunt for you then?
Yeah, and it's a rifle hunt too, which is still new for me. Yep. And what it was, it's like limited time. We wanted to take our bows. We probably will in the future.
Yeah.
But I'm going on, you know, Devin made me this bet with the box. He said, you sell me, we sold 100 boxes, and he goes, sell 100.
I didn't get that bet.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well,
Chaboys have done some advertising. He goes, sell me 100 more boxes. I'm like, all right, I'll do what I can. So I kind of like a couple more, and then we sold 400 more.
Hell yeah.
And then he called me, he's like, all right, dude, you're going. So I'm like, okay, cool.
Let's go. Here we go.
Yeah, hell yeah. Done.
So it'll be great. It'll be a great experience, I think. And I think it'll be good too from a content standpoint, because everyone else is like tapered down and nobody else is really doing hunting camp. So then when do you go in January to hunt coos, you know, as a little whitetail and mule deer?
Yeah.
For us, it'll be great for content because it's going to kind of pique that hunting camp interest up again.
Yeah, sure.
I hope anyway. I hope.
It will.
So
I want to know when those deer drop their antlers.
I don't know. I'm going to find it. Dude, I will ask a million questions when I'm down there because that's what I'm
most
intrigued
about. That's like one thing
about.
I don't know about is like down in Mexico, you know?
Yeah, and you should be hitting it probably their rut, right?
I think so, yeah.
Somewhere in there, it's weird how you just go south. And
I don't know what the coos deer rut is, like the mule deer situation down there. I don't know. But we're going to be with his buddy Martin's coming down. And then I guess I'll be hunting a day or two with Eric Chester from Hushin, which I've never met him, but Devin's good buddies with him. Yep. So that'll be cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's because it's wild to think about. It's not like the climate's changing so harshly like it is up here. We're from Michigan and you guys from the Midwest. So, you know, to think about the antlers actually popping off down there, it's like, do they even really need to?
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
They probably shed, I would say, like, what, April or May? They probably shed.
Because you wouldn't think they'd have the stress down there, like when it gets real cold up here.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how many squirrels they got, so it's like you wonder if you should just find sheds.
Just pristine sheds. A little white, or, you know, from the sun.
Patina.
He's 20 years old.
Kurt's shipping back like 236 sheds.
All chalk.
Pick up the chalky.
You don't find these at home, man.
Actually, probably down there, they just may grind them up and sell them for other reasons.
The Asian black trade market.
Some booger sugar. I don't know. Anything about that.
Dude, if it works, I'm in. Let's go. Win in Mexico.
That's right.
Win in Mexico.
You bet.
Try everything once.
It'll be fun, man. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be like a big learning experience for me, you know, but I don't have a rifle, so I'm going to be like piggybacking Devin everywhere. And we're going for like a 110 or better coos is like our goal.
That's a really good coos.
Yeah, and I guess this is the spot. Devin's killed a lot of big coos, and I think he's shooting for that 120-ish if he can get it. For me, I'm happy with a good mature coos. I told him that too, you know. Then even like we can shoot a mule deer down there if we see one, and I don't know, you know, I got to learn more about that. Like I don't know what the mule deer are like down there. I don't even know what the density of mule deer is. So I'm gonna learn all that.
Yeah, so. You go down there for a week after, you know, true Mexican food, Mexican beer down there. Like all the Mexican restaurants back in Illinois won't be worth
No. And you'll eat a lot of burritos down there. Last time I was in Mexico a couple weeks ago, we ate breakfast burritos or tacos, and then we warmed those up for lunch, and then for supper we had a new burrito. It's just like a after like 3 days of tacos, I come home and my wife's like, "We're gonna have Mexican." I said, "No, we're not.
No, we're not.
Not doing that." Yeah. Like
Taco Bell, let's do it.
Damn, Taco Bell,
do it. Chalupas, nice.
Get the good shit, Taco Bell.
Yeah. You guys have chalupas?
Kurt's down there just asking the people in camp. They're like, "Hey, you guys ever been to Taco Bell before?" Yeah. like,
yeah,
no.
Cheesy what's your equivalent?
Yeah, what's your equivalent to like a cheesy
gordita crunch?
That's my favorite, dude. I go there.
I love those things.
Double meat. Two of them. Yeah. Hook it up now.
Yeah, yep. I'm the dumb gringo with his knuckles tattooed. Like, are you in the cartel or not? I'm like, I don't know.
Down there with gloves on and long sleeve and a turtleneck like a dickie. You know, and you're just like.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what the right answer
is. I'm out of shit and stuff.
Just rocking a white turtleneck the whole time, yeah. Just completely unfolded up.
He's got a black dickie on, but his shirt is white so you can see the dickie here, like yeah. Cousin Eddie.
Sweating.
Yeah. I forgot about dickies, dude.
No, Cousin Eddie, man.
Yeah.
The best Christmas movie ever.
That's what it'll be. Are you in the cartel? I don't know the right answer. Should I be?
Who's
you
asking?
Tell me. Yeah. If I answer yes, what's happening? If I answer no, what's going to happen?
That's awesome.
I don't know. That'll be fun, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Good deal. What? So you guys had your season was good.
No.
Yeah, I know. You lost the chip bet.
I lost the chip bet. Yep.
So and you haven't ate the chip yet, right?
No, not yet. Oh, so we got to still hash out a date for that we're going to go live.
I think we'll do it like probably last week of January when I get back from Mexico. We'll probably do a live, thinking. Not to put you on blast, but
no, it's
all right.
I got to get it over with. So
yep. sum your season up in a couple words.
It just, nothing would come together.
Yeah.
Like either, I seen a lot of good deer that were just too young that I passed, which is good.
Good job.
Yeah.
And the ones I could shoot just, it was either didn't have a shot, they wouldn't come in. It was just like, wasn't my season this year. And then, I don't know if I showed you last night or not, so we get to ATA Tuesday, and it's the last day in Iowa.
You did show me. All the Michigan Bucks came through?
Yep, yeah. Yep.
The old Michigan Bucks. There,
and I think he's going to show me this toad.
Yep.
You know, and he's like, I just put this blind out. We're setting the booth up last night. And Eric goes like this, and Kurt comes in and goes, yeah, a whole bunch of Bachelor of Michigan Bucks. Yeah.
But
he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. I hadn't seen a buck on that property in 2 months, and then I'm sitting here at ATA. I could be at home hunting. And $6 just come running through.
I'm like, Eric tells Kurt, I'm not going to ATA. I got a 105-inch that needs to be blown right up.
Yeah. Well, in Eric's defense, you downplayed your season a little bit. Like, you saw more bigger deer than the rest of the group.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I mean, it was a really good season. I seen
well into boon
three
cropping.
Booners mm-hmm. this year. So
oh, really?
Yeah. It was a very good season. Just
nothing close enough.
Nothing close enough.
That's how
enough,
it goes when you're on deer like that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You're either killing them or you're close or yep. where
I thought
you
I
don't
would
see him.
I thought I would have him figured out, and then he would play cat and mouse with me where I'd move where he came out on that wind, and then the next time that was that wind, I'd go set up there, and then he'd come out at a different end of the field.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
past,
when you zigged, he zagged. When yep. he zagged, you zigged. Yep. It's one of the, everyone's going to have one of those seasons once in a while, man. I truly believe that.
Well, and them big deer like that, they got you figured out,
yep.
you know.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like a yeah, you burn out your streak. Like, it just yep. happens, you yep. know? Like, and we call the thing a 200-inch curse. Like, our buddy Ross killed a 200-incher, had just not the worst season, had a really rough season,
yep.
killed a good old mature buck. And then our buddy Lee killed Junk Brow at 206 or whatever the hell it is, and then just had a struggle bus of a season. I'm like, yeah. that's a curse I'm willing to take
yeah,
on.
I'll take that on for 3 years. Just
yeah.
give me a 200.
Yeah,
right. You know?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, when you killed your giant, did you have a rough season afterward, or did you just?
I will say, so 19 had a good season. 20, I was like, yeah, struggled, and I took it down to December and killed a decent buck in Kansas. I say decent. He was a big deer. He's 150,
yeah,
mid-50s.
Great buck.
But it was like with a gun, you know, and it was just like my bow season was very up and down, hit or miss.
Yeah. See, I think there. I don't know what it is. It's like the deer gods, but also, too, man, like, you go in and kill a bunch of mature bucks, and then you get stricter, you set your goals a little higher, and then you want to kill a certain caliber of deer. It just gets tougher.
It does.
Yeah. I will say one thing, and when I podcasted with Ross about his 200s, I think I asked him, too, like, after, I mean, he's killed 3 200-inch deer.
Right.
You know
not
what
many
I mean?
Normal dude. There's a lot of dudes you don't hear about
yes,
that do it.
Yeah. But when my deer was 186, still a deer of a lifetime,
for
not
sure.
200. But I will tell you, after I killed that deer, everything was like, there's no more stress. There, it's still to this day, it's like, well, I can take tonight off. You know what I mean? I don't
right.
need to go hunting. Like,
yeah.
I almost hate that it felt that way or it feels that way because I still love it. But it's I don't feel that like urge like I got to go out there. I got to get, you know, all the time.
I know
where
what you're saying, yeah.
It might just be like you might get a little more complacent or relaxed of like, ah, I won my Super Bowl. Everything else is just kind of icing on the cake.
Yeah, kind of thing. I get that.
Make a chip bet, then you'll want to go out every day.
Yeah, just you two, the chip bet.
Anybody that doesn't, you know, doesn't hasn't listened to Working Class or whatever, and if you haven't, you need to, and you've been living under a rock for fucking very long. And but Doug and Eric made a chip bet for what was it, the biggest deer between you two?
Whoever shot the smallest deer of the season would have to eat the Pacu chip
like in Iowa with a bow.
Yep.
Okay.
That was a stipulation.
So it couldn't go out of state.
And what was Doug's deer? What did he score?
Well, we can tell it now because, well, so we were going to keep it private, so they would have to not know. And
We'd have to judge it just by seeing which whoever killed first, you know.
Doug killed a mature buck, and normally it's I think it's a deer Doug normally wouldn't have shot, but Doug kind of had a rougher season than normal, and I think the bet kind of put pressure on him.
Oh, I bet. I could see Doug just being like, oh, fuck it.
But
you know,
it's kind of what happened. A little bit, kind of. But it's a mature buck. He didn't shoot like a two-year-old to just kill a buck in his defense. But I think it went 136 or 137.
Still a good deer.
Still a great buck. As an eight-pointer with no brows. Yeah. You know what I mean? Ooh. Had broken off brows. Jeez.
Oh, and I'm not going to lie, I went out a couple Mondays ago. And
big beams on him, you know.
You know, the way I wanted it to work, I set up in a new spot, and it was perfect. Does came out, and usually the bucks come out across the field, come over to the does, and this 145.8. The does come out right by me. He comes screaming over, stops at 40 yards, but he's behind some shit, and I couldn't get a shot, and he just will not come in.
Ugh.
And I'm like, I'm standing there with my bow for like.
Is this after Doug's already killed?
Oh, yeah. This
so
was
you're
like,
this
was
is
like,
money in the bank.
Oh, yeah.
This is like, two Sundays ago.
Oh, jeez.
Like getting down to the wire, and I'm like, come on, just take like 20 more feet to the left, and you're dead. And he just stands there, and all of a sudden he turns and goes back the other way. And I'm not lying, dude. I hung my bow up, and I cried a little bit. I'm like, why? Why?
He just oh, he looks like he's inside 100.
Yeah.
Oh, and I was, there was tiny little pockets. There was tiny little pockets, but the one pocket, he was at like 57, and I'm almost like I
Eric's
down
looking
my
for
sight.
Holes.
And I'm
there's
like,
a shot there.
Ranging, like, click, click, click. I think I could squeeze it through there, but still 57. I'm like, God damn it.
Good on you for sticking to your morals and ethics,
yep,
man.
Yep.
And or did you fling an arrow and you just haven't told anybody?
No, I would straight
just
up tell
there,
you.
Just out there just some.
I told Doug, because like with Doug and I, like, after we get done hunting, we always call each other, see how it goes. I'm like, dude, I almost launched a 57-yard arrow through a hole that was about 6 inches. And I'm like, I'm glad I didn't, because it would have been a train wreck.
It would have just been regret.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But
he hits a limb. You just see the arrow
fly. But then this deer, so the does take off, and he takes off after the does. And they go out of sight, whatever. And I think something spooked the does, because they come screaming back, ran in the timber 10 yards from me. Mm. I'm like, oh, I hope that buck's following. Well, here he comes.
Oh, boy.
He comes around the corner of this timber that I can see, and he's coming running in, and he just stops 87 yards. I can see him.
You thought about it.
It's a long bomb.
But, dude, it was to that point. There was probably 10 minutes left of light, you know, so it's getting real dark, and I'm like, and he is just hung up there. I'm like, okay, you got 10 minutes, bro.
Figure it out.
And then, you know, it got real dark, and he was – by the time I had to start tearing down my stand, he was still staying in the middle of the field, and I'm like,
damn it.
I heard you guys talking on a podcast, you know, where you guys were almost getting to the point in the season where you're like, damn, do we just both eat this chip? Or it's like, you look back and you're like, dude, if we would have just ate that thing on October 1, we both would have probably had seasons of our life. You know what I mean? Where it's one of those things.
There were some moments at the studio where you guys were like, I feel like at one point it was almost like, let's just call it a truce and both eat this thing. And then you guys didn't, which I was surprised. I thought it was going to happen. Like, get down to that. Like, let's break this chip curse we got going on and just say fuck it. And
well, there was one day we were.
Doug would have died, though.
Doug and I hunt the same the same spot. So, like, we're doing an all-day sit. And then it's still kind of early. So I'm like, let's get down for lunch. Go grab something to eat quick at the gas station. We'll come back. And I get to my truck, and I have a flat tire. I'm like, Doug, you got to come pick me up, because I was just going to meet him at the gas station, you know. So we had to fiddle fuck around with that for 4 hours, and we didn't even get to hunt that afternoon because I was fixing a damn tire. You know, we're 2.5 hours from home, so it's like...
Little do you know, he's just out there letting the air out of the tires for every evening hunt.
Yeah. And then we get it fixed. We're driving home. I call him, and we're like, should we just eat this goddamn chip?
Yeah.
Because we just thought it cursed us the whole season, you know?
Yeah.
But that's why I don't really like doing those side bets. It's fun, but...
It's entertaining.
Pressure. It is entertaining, but you guys have a new bet. We haven't talked about it on... The show.
We won't launch it yet.
You want to wait?
Yep.
Why? Because you got to think about it?
No, do we want to launch it right away?
Okay, we'll think about it.
We'll think about it.
Thank you.
Teasing it up a little bit.
Dude, they shook hands on
it. Tease it. Can you tease it?
It's another tattoo bet.
Oh, no, I know the bet.
You told us last night.
Yeah. I won't say anything.
Yep. It's aggressive.
Yep. It is aggressive. Austin was telling me all the detail, and I'm like, oh, boy.
I'm surprised you guys. I'm surprised. I mean, you have tattoos, right? Not a big deal if you have another shitty tattoo. Doug don't have any tattoos.
None.
He's an engineer.
For this one to be the first one, too.
It'd be great.
Yeah. It'd be rough.
You have to beat him.
Oh, I know.
But
it'll happen this year.
When we shook on the first one, he made a stipulation. It's got to be Iowa with a bow. With this one, he didn't say anything. He just shook my hand.
This is any buck,
gun,
any state.
Oh, my God.
Mule deer.
Eric just got, like, 4 hunts lined up without vendors every month.
Saskatchewan.
Maybe I can hook up a elk hunt with Trey this year. That'd put me in the lead.
We're going to go deer.
That's a species of deer.
Species? Go to the Missouri Breaks and get a mule deer, like a 230-inch mule deer.
Yeah. Yep. I thought you were going to say, maybe I'd come to Mexico with you and shoot a coos deer. I'm like, I don't know if I'd put my money on a coos deer.
No.
Just book it. 105 Michigan buck.
Just book
it. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Book a high fence hunt. Just one of them giants.
Well, I think parts of Michigan, I think, have like... Yeah, the northern coos is what happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's
a scientific experiment.
Dude, the whole Michigan deal, him and I come from Michigan. You guys hear a lot of hate. A lot of guys fucking hate on Michigan.
Can I make a statement?
Yeah.
No.
Michigan is our second most downloaded state. And what I love is like we rag on Michigan jokingly, but apparently Michigan people are cool enough to get the joke, so we thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yep. That's if they've been getting shit their whole life, probably.
Well, dude, I love it because we get a lot of feedback. Yeah, right?
Out of the womb getting shit. Don't shoot small deer.
Well, I live in Illinois. I get what it's like to have people shit on your state. Bring it on. It's deserved. But so just shout out to Michigan listeners. I'm sure your guys' Michigan listener base is way bigger than ours.
It's huge. Like, and obviously, in Illinois, it's probably huge for you. But there's a parallel because – our second downloaded state is Illinois.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So we're flip-flop. Yeah. Illinois, Michigan. Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, it's a PA or a Wisconsin, and then Ohio's trickle. And then Texas is like top 5. And
I'm really?
Like, really?
Iowa's number 8 for us.
Yep. Really? Iowa?
Iowa, yeah.
Iowa's not very high. I just don't think Iowa people listen to podcasts, to be honest with you.
It's
maybe.
Yeah, or they're just so much on a pedestal that they don't care about anything
else. They need pitchers to take in information. Yeah. You know what I mean? So they need like pitcher books, pop-up books.
Yep.
They can't read. They don't retain information.
Look at Doug.
Look at Doug.
Look at Doug. Yeah. Prime example.
He's an engineer for the government.
Oh, but I tell you, you know, when you talk about Michigan and how good it downloads for you guys, a little part of me is it's not surprising because – the tradition of just hunting itself in Michigan is it runs so deep, you know, but
for sure.
On the flip side of that, that is why Michigan is the way it is with the caliber of bucks.
It's a double-edged sword a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I get that. It's the culture's different there.
Yeah.
Yep. Just like it is in parts of Wisconsin, just like it is in Pennsylvania. Like, we get it. It's fun to joke about because it's in our community and we're the only ones that get the jokes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, non-hunter will never understand
that. Right. Yep. And it's even wild to think about also is that coming from Michigan, where I live is completely different than where Aaron lives. To me, he almost is like up north in Michigan. Then you have the UP, which is a totally different animal
for
deer hunting. So it's it's almost they literally have it broke up into 3 different zones, and every zone is treated differently and managed completely differently out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is interesting. I've only been in Michigan
watch out
once.
For your, predator.
I know. I'm
right there.
Like, gee whiz.
I got my sunglasses.
Don't look into
that. Don't look into that. I just got bars now in my eyes.
Me too.
Shut your eyes.
But anyway,
see him.
Yeah, Michigan's. I don't know. I've been to Michigan once and I puked. And I turned around, went back to Illinois. But
what were you doing in Michigan?
That's a true story. I'm not making that up.
So you just went to Michigan, you puked on Michigan, and left?
I'll tell the story really, really fast. When I worked for John Deere, we had a 10-day shutdown over the holidays. My wife and I always do like a little couple day random vacation. She wanted to go to Niagara Falls in the winter. So we were going to drive up through Michigan that way. And then we get into Michigan, and I, like, all of a sudden, like, flew like sick and started puking. So we had to get a hotel, and I was so sick the next day, we just turned around and went home.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
Like, I got an hour into Michigan. It was just, like, flew like back.
You literally Jeez. Puked in Michigan and left.
That's all I've done in Michigan is puked.
See? He just shits on Michigan.
Michigan.
Puke bucks.
Well, dude, what if you went to Illinois one time and you just got, and you puked and went home? You'd be like, man, Illinois got something, a curse.
Yeah. I'm never coming back to this state.
I'll give it a chance again when I'm ready. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it's a stupid story, but it's true.
It's funny. That is kind of funny that you went there for however long, just puked your guts out, and you're good.
Literally overnight. Literally overnight, puked and came home.
Right when he crossed the border back in Illinois, he's like, God, I feel much better.
Yeah.
And the air's cleaner down here or something.
That's not true.
We got Chicago. It's the same place.
Kurt, your season, though, you had a damn good season. And, like, one probably that you'll probably obviously never forget. Buying your new, you know, your first farm,
killing
a buck on it, killing a doe on it,
for sure, man. Yeah, I got very fortunate. I was telling Austin and Lee riding up here, like, I never thought in a million years that would happen to me. Like, I just thought it would never happen. Like, one, to buy a little piece, you know, it's not a big piece, very humble, and then to then kill a buck on it, like, that's, you know, fuck, I never thought that would happen.
It's the American dream.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
and it doesn't even, like, I feel like it hasn't really even settled in on me yet. You know, like,
yeah.
Like, I'll sit and think about it, like, damn, that's crazy. And then, but it doesn't feel real still.
It'll really, really settle once your kids get older and they get to take a part of it.
Yeah, it will. It was one of those, like, I cried when I shot that buck, man.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's the biggest buck on that little slice of heaven. And I honestly didn't expect, you know, it's a little piece on a travel quarter. I'm like, dude, I just had to get lucky.
Yep.
You know, and I didn't want to overhunt a little piece. And I just honestly didn't really hunt it that much. I just hunted it right. And it worked out.
Yeah.
You know? Well, not to mention, I mean, in the last couple of years, you've been through a lot personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
with your dad and, you know, and a new baby and all, and growing up and everything now. And, like, that's just one of those things that, like, I could see myself. I'm really close to my father as well, just like you were. And, and being able to experience that farm and do what you did, there had to have been a little part of you like, man, thanks a lot, Dad. You know,
yeah,
you helped me out.
Looking
appreciate
out for you.
It.
Fuck, 1,000%, dude, because – I was talking to, we were on our way to a trade show. I was riding with Austin. Austin has, like, farm buying and selling and kind of, like, flipping. And he's a farmer. He has that. He's smart with that. And I was talking to him, and I was saving, especially coming into leaving John Deere because it's scary, you know. And I'm like, man, talking to him, he's like, dude, you should look at a farm. And I was like, I can't afford one. He goes, well, here's how you can afford one. And he kind of broke it down. I'm like, oh, I guess I never really thought of it. Like, find a farm that makes money.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I'm like, well, that's what I'll just look for. And if it works out, not. And if not, I'll just. So Austin was looking for a farm because he sold one. So he's trying to avoid that tax. I can't remember what
it's
called.
Doing farmer things.
Yeah, so he's looking for another farm in Iowa or really anywhere he could buy one he was looking. So he had every land agent from pretty much Nebraska to Ohio looking for farms. So I'm like, hey, if you see a spot that looks good for me. So
and
just,
not good for you.
Yeah,
like, hit me
yeah
up.
It's cheap because he needed to get one at a certain price range. Well, we heard about one coming up that was not that far away that had good income. And basically, I just put a bug in the agent's ear, which is a real good dude, and told him. And he's like, hey, come look. And I'm not kidding. I walked the farm with Austin and the agent, and I went off on my own. I was in the middle of the farm, and I stopped and talked to my dad. I said, Dad, what do I do? Like, do I try and do this? And I don't know. He probably is laughing, but I'm like, I don't know what to do. Is this the right move? Because it's scary.
Yeah, dude, you're gonna make me well up here in a minute.
So
I'm a softy when it comes to that shit.
Basically, this is a whole other podcast for another time. Ended up trying to morph some things and got an accepted offer because I was bidding against the guy with cash.
Oh,
I didn't
God.
Have cash, so I'm like, oh fuck. So what I did, it makes income off a program it's in, and it was supposed to get that fall. And I'm like, okay, I don't have any more money. I'm tapped. And I can't do it if I go anymore. I said, okay, I'll give you the income this year on top of my offer. And they were like, okay, that's a good deal. So the agent called me. He's like, you just bought a farm, and it was just waterworks.
Dude,
that's awesome.
That's good thinking, though, about that income that was going to come in. Like, that's an awesome offer to even think about.
Yeah, I'm like, because it was a significant amount. It was, like, right where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And I told the agent, he's a really good guy. And I'm like, dude, I can't, I got to fold up. And I knew, like, if it, this farm didn't happen, I was pretty much out. Like, it was a unicorn.
I remember that day when you were like, well, he's supposed to be calling me today to see if the offer got accepted or it didn't. And you were just on pins and needles, dude.
It was probably four or five phone calls back and forth, like kind of a bid war. And it was like the other guy's buddy, they're from Michigan, actually.
Really?
Has bought a good farm down the road, and this came up, and they wanted it. I'm going long-winded on this. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
No, you're good.
But, yeah, it just worked out, man. It was crazy. I never thought it would.
Well, it's funny, like, buying a farm is very intimidating. Like, I'm still – I want to buy a farm eventually, and it's kind of a pipe dream. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's
like,
but literally, I'd take the right 20 acres or the right 15 acres just to call it mine.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might be able to kill a deer or two off it every – year, every other year or something, but I just want something that's mine. My family can enjoy it.
Even if it's 5 acres, you know?
Yep. I'll take five great acres.
You know what's cool about it, too? When you go, like, when we bought the farm, though, to be honest, it made good income because, you know, because it's not tillable ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be out of my price range. I couldn't afford that. In Illinois and Iowa, it's expensive.
Yep.
But when we bought it, I didn't think it was a farm that was going to be like, this is going to be excellent deer hunting. I thought it's a place to just put my money to down the road sell it and get the farm
Flip
I
it.
Actually want.
Yep. Yep.
And then I kind of realized, like, wow, there's actually deer on it.
Yeah.
This is cool, you know? And then, you know, when I shot that doe on it, I'm like, whoa. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this is cool.
Ground is a good investment, man. Never goes down in price. I'm not sure.
Yep. But when I first got it, kind of like, you know, you grow up on permission pieces and leases. Like, oh, they don't want you cutting trees and you can't go at this date. And I kind of still, like, went in with that so embedded in my brain. Like, ah, I can't do that. I want to saw that tree, but I don't want to. And I'm like, what? I can do anything I want.
Yeah. Did you have to text yourself, ask if you cut a tree down?
Yeah, but it took, like, a couple times of going out there. Be like, man, I want to mow that. But I'm like, well, fuck, I'm mowing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. And when you said that it almost didn't feel like you owned it in the beginning, I think that you almost just hit on that same point where you've probably always gotten to your truck and go hunting at a property, right?
Yep, yeah.
And so you were still doing the same thing. It just was actually yours now. So that feeling of, like, ownership, it is. It's totally different, you know?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, I'm used to, like, parking in a spot where it's a respectful place to park, where a landowner's not going to get hassled. Like, oh, somebody's hunting. Can I hunt?
Right.
I try to avoid that for landowners. And on my farm, I'm like, where do I park my truck? I'm like, you don't fucking park it off the side of the road.
Yeah. No, you can park it in the middle of the field if you want.
You know what I mean? And I don't care if somebody sees me walking into it. I'll wave at the guy on the county road and just be like, hey, I hunt here and I own it and you can't hunt here, you know?
There's always that feeling, though, where it's like, even if it's like a permission piece or it's like, man, I just don't want people to know I'm in here.
I'm that way.
You know what I mean?
I think it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do in respect to the landowner, I think.
Yeah, 100%. And it as terrible as this sounds, it's not like – you're not going to get caught talking to anyone, having to walk out. You know, like, we all have those permission pieces, and all of a sudden, like, oh, you can see the farmer's going to walk out, wants to talk to you at night, but you're in a hurry. You got to go pick the kid up or something. Yeah. You know, or it's like, dude, just get in the truck, and you're out of there. You
do your thing.
It's great. It's hard to get. It's a cool thing, man. I'm just very grateful for it.
Yeah.
Well, and to have a guy like Austin that knows land and knows the ins and outs, like, here, you can get away with doing this. You know, it's very obtainable for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, if you manage your money right, and you don't really need a ton of money to get land.
Here's
and
the
Austin,
thing.
Austin's the guy. He should be doing that for a living because I have him looking for farms for me, but then the interest rate skyrocketed like crazy.
Dude.
So it's like, he finds me a piece, but shit, 7-8% interest. I'm like, ugh.
I know that the farmers around me, too, it always seems like they know about the land before anyone else does.
Oh,
you know what
sure.
I mean?
Networking they have. And it's like, hey.
Well, dude, Austin needs to be doing consulting, and he needs to be a land agent, and he needs to, like, do a farm work. Like, he could do all that and kill it, you know?
Yeah. I personally think he'd be the guy that could start his own little agency and be like, and kill it that way, yeah. You know?
I think we talked enough about it to him.
Working class agent.
Could. Ooh, there we go.
Could. That'd be cool, man. But, you know, the way I look at it, when someone's like talking about farms, I'm like, okay, think about everyone's, a lot of adults have bought a house, have a mortgage, yep. You know? And I don't know, I worded that weird. A lot of people have a mortgage.
Yes, right.
And it's like, okay, you know what you could afford, what you got approved for, and what the payment is. Okay, and now imagine if your house made you income every year.
Yeah. Right.
What kind of house could you afford then?
Yeah.
Or what kind of house would you buy?
Right.
If you knew it could make you money, would you, like, I just got to building a house. If I knew it would make me money, would I build a different house?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
answers, probably.
I would have.
Yeah. Damn straight.
That's the way to look at a farm. You see, okay, well, it's, you know, we'll go, it's 150 grand for this little piece, but it makes you back this
exactly.
much.
Exactly. Yep.
It's like, whoa, wait. And then there's different ways to, like, attack that.
Yep.
Do you have any tillable on yours?
No.
Yep. Oh, you don't?
No tillable.
CRP?
It's a CRP tree program.
Okay.
Yep. It's, you know, it's its own thing written up for my piece, you know?
Yep. And so, I tell you that another.
I'm learning still.
Yeah. Another thing also is, so 2 years ago, I purchased about 20 acres, and when I was thinking about purchasing it, because I got two kids at home too, mm-hmm. is, I mean, you know, God don't make no more land, and we don't know with the hunting, you know, like a lot of things get bought up, or mm-hmm. you can't hunt over here no more, this and that. We're like, your kids will always have somewhere to hunt if they want to hunt someday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what, no matter if they can't hunt for the every square mile around there, they will still have a little piece right here that no matter what happens, they can go hunting
right.
there.
Yep.
Yeah, that's like a great feeling.
It
like
is.
Security. Now she's going to make that payment.
Yeah. Right. Should it do again this month? At the same time.
Which is weird, you know, like another thing people don't think about, and I didn't know this until Austin talked about it. I'm like, man, a monthly payment, if I do this, he goes, do it annually. Then when you get your payment from the income of your ground, just roll that in, make an account for your farm.
See?
There's your payment. And then calculate this. Okay, it makes X amount a year. What would you have paid for a lease?
Yep.
And I have in my head what I budgeted to try and find a lease every year because I'm always looking. You have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, if it makes this much, this is my lease budget. Throw the lease budget on what the farm already makes. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's like the you know, caveman way of my brain thought about how I could have a farm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it works, so it's working.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so that's the way you got to look at it.
They haven't taken it back yet, so it must be doing something.
I haven't made a first payment yet. but you know, too, though, like another thing is like, hey, you want to sell, okay, times get tough. I'll sell 2 whitetail hunts on it a year.
Yep.
They'll probably have a really good hunt because now I know how to hunt it. And then, all right, there's my farm payment.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea either.
There's ways you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or even one hunt a year, it pays your taxes. You can make it pay the taxes on it.
For
you
sure.
Know?
Yeah. If you want something bad enough, you'll find a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
You'll make it work.
Yep.
Yeah, dude, I already got tattoos. I could be a drug dealer or, you know what I mean?
A gas station attendant? Yeah, you're good at that.
Dude, I did a business.
Again. Hey.
Sign me up, dude.
You can act like a tattoo artist.
Yeah, pretend. Scratch you up.
Scratch you up.
Let's do stick people's all you.
I did a business podcast on my way out to Wyoming, and at the end.
You were on a business podcast?
I'm the dumbest dude they've ever had on, for sure. Like, he has, like, high-end entrepreneur, like, finance people and stuff.
What was his angle? What
he just wanted to talk about, like, the structure of, like, how, you know, how to basically make money or whatever podcasting. It was a cool podcast. I enjoyed it. But I for sure was the dumbest dude he's ever had on the show. And I just felt like an idiot the whole time when he's like telling me what he's had. I'm like, why the fuck you talk to me? Good dude, though. But at the end, he asked if I wasn't doing this, what would I do? And I said drug dealer as a joke. And it, like, didn't really – he kind of, like, cut out at the
went
same
over,
time.
Went over, like, a fart in church?
It just didn't
– just went silent.
It was like he got the joke, but he kind of cut out when I said it. So there's, like, this big lag. So everyone that listens to that show is probably like, whoa, drug dealer,
huh?
Right. Yeah, then I'm like, all right, I'm kidding.
And you looked the part.
Yeah. I'm like, damn it, it came off wrong. I didn't mean that.
Hey, it's like a church. You don't have to pay taxes, you know, when you're a drug dealer.
Hey, nobody knows. Like a church.
You got to pay taxes.
Yeah, because drug dealers and churches have a lot in common.
Yeah, they don't pay taxes.
Yeah, that's a clip for your Instagram, Aaron.
Yeah. Well, talk about clips. Jeez, we talk about doing TikToks. I hate TikTok.
Yeah,
I hate it.
We're banned on it, I think, now.
I haven't got into it. Like, well, actually, let me check.
So let me tell you this. I know you got 15 minutes before your meeting, so I'll wrap it up.
You're good.
So...
screw that meeting.
We David and I do like a question to each other. We don't know the question every podcast. He'll do like, you know, all right, it's a would you rather or what would you do kind of thing, and he's
fuck,
like,
kill.
Yeah, basically like that. But you got to stay to like a minute and a half answer, and it's got to be don't go down a rabbit hole kind of thing. So, he goes, all right, APR or one buck rule, because that's the big thing in Michigan right now is would you, because we can shoot 2 bucks. It's like, would you rather have an APR or 1 buck? So, I put it on TikTok, and everybody that lives in their mom's basement has come out and been Mr. Big Buck Killer and calling us stupid asses. If they'd spend more time scouting, maybe they'd kill bigger deer like I do. And I'm like, who are you guys?
We didn't even ask you.
No, I didn't. It wasn't even a question. It was just like, what's your opinion?
Yeah,
you
gosh.
Know what I mean? Oh. And I'm just like, what the hell?
People are dumb.
Yep,
they are.
And it's not a bot from how he was texting or like writing. It's not a bot. It's a human.
Yeah.
He's 18 years old, lives in his mom's basement. He goes, Mom, is meatloaf for dinner?
Dude, yeah.
You know,
dude.
Mom, yelling. Meatloaf.
That fuck. That's the TikTok culture, man.
It's crazy.
Reels, there's some on Reels, but it's not like TikTok's so bad.
Yeah.
Dude, there's some like the scrapes, the mock scrapes question.
Oh,
we just
dude.
Simply, like, kind of what you're saying, do you do mock scrapes or not? And there's a poll. And people are on there like, you're a fucking idiot. It's like, all right, easy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's TikTok.
You piss in your scrapes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. You know?
Why don't you have gloves on right now?
Here's the thing. You just, yeah, right. Yeah.
Why aren't you wearing knee-high rubber boots?
It's July.
Where's your snake boots?
Yeah.
Take it easy.
But I don't know. Those dudes, you almost just have to be like, thanks for the engagement.
Yep. I know.
You know?
Well, and I wanted to write back because I was so pissed, but I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to stoop to his level, but I just wanted to be like, thanks for your, you know, because you go to his profile, he hasn't posted a thing.
Yeah.
He follows a ton of people, but he just literally created that
hater page,
to go,
man.
Yeah, talk shit.
Kill him with kindness.
It's just like, you know, some of them hater pages on socials, it's like, you know, some of them are getting sued now, which is funny. But, you know, some of them are enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
If they're doing it right, there's a mission. You can do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you can. But, you know, I've said this on, this is probably a worn out topic, but like, you can bash the bad people. But don't bash the industry, because you take away the hunting industry, hunting goes
we're
away.
Done.
Yep. You need the hunting industry, whether anyone admits it or not. And if they say you don't, they don't understand how the world works.
Yep.
So because even industry's
here,
good.
Here, even at ATA, I mean, look how many people are here.
Yep.
And this is what drives the industry, in my opinion. And
dude,
it's just like, this goes away, where we all go away.
You take away hunting brands, and I know it's corny to say influencers and the overplayed. Now everybody's got a podcast. I get it. Just like everybody had a TV show or wants to be on TV. You take all of that away. Now I get it. We can take some away. Like, some don't need to be around.
Yeah.
I get that. But you take it all away, it's not good.
Yep. It's not good.
Oh, it'll fall hard and fast.
Yep.
Because it's, in the grand scheme of things, we're not big at all.
Yeah.
No, no. It's
a small industry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they lose. The numbers go down every year. It's not like a growing thing, you know.
Yep.
And we can be our own worst enemy inside this whole big circle.
Absolutely can. Well, think the entire archery industry right now is under this one roof.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not that big of a space.
Yep.
A little weird.
And it's a big building, but it's really not that big of a space when you think of the grand scheme of things, you know?
Right. Yep. Yeah, it is wild to think about.
It's scary.
It is. Let's get on to some positive sides here.
Yeah, let's
do it. If you do have a little bit of time, do you have a 1 o'clock or no? Are you done?
Yeah, but I'll be fashionably late just to flex on them a little bit.
Well, we can wrap it up right now. I mean, we're 40 minutes
you're
into
good.
This.
We're
so
good. Hit us with it, brother.
What ATA this year, like what's been the show for you guys? I mean, I know you podcast a lot here too, so you don't get to walk around, but like what is your – what's your
– this year we kind of went with – so fortunately for us, we do a lot of our like – for most people here who don't know, there's a lot of meetings and like planning for strategy
stuff,
happens here, business stuff.
Behind the scenes kind
of
thing.
Behind the scenes stuff. It's not all just social media and drinking beer. There's a lot of that. But
no, we don't drink. No.
Right. We have a lot of meetings. We kept it light. We're doing some podcasts. We have our media room out here. Well, I feel like 3, 4, 5 years ago, it was a grind. Like we did 17 in 2 days here and just tried to hammer it and podcast and content, try to get our name out there, get like recognition that we wanted to do other things, and we're not pushing that hard at the show anymore. We think we do it. We now have it dispersed throughout the year of our hustle, which is great. But normally it's here just meeting with people. Some of it's meetings and strategies, if that's what your question was. But
yeah,
and it is nice too that everyone's underneath one roof, so you get to catch up with a lot of people that you haven't seen all year, and like, you know, do just sit around bullshit.
Yep.
Yeah.
that's what I like, you know, going to the bar, hanging out with you guys, hanging out with other guys you don't get to see a lot.
Right.
Hobnobbing, doing this. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I've been to your guys' studio, but like face-to-face here and do this, it's just so much better than over the phone or over a Zoom call.
You got to get to the studio.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do. Bring him on down.
We'll come out.
Yeah.
It's an 8-hour drive. Not bad.
Yeah. If we come out there, though, I want to
see. We need to couple it with some hunting. We need to go hunt.
Who has the loft? That's
so. Well, Ross and Austin have.
They
the
both
loft.
Have.
I haven't seen them yet either. We got to see them.
I've seen the pictures. They look badass.
They need to come to the garage party.
They're both epic. Yeah, we do
the garage party.
We don't have a date for it, but you guys are more than welcome to come. Well,
we were gonna do the shoot, but that's when our Total Archery Challenge, and that's when our kind of same weekend.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we'll do something where you guys come down and maybe, like, you know, record obviously in the studio, and then maybe we can do something like collab on content at Club 200 in Austin's place.
Oh, that'd be cool.
For sure.
Yeah, we could break Michigan down, full Michigan.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be. We'll do that in the studio.
Yeah,
and that we should do that.
Yeah,
and we'll go but party.
It would be pretty cool to.
Be wild because. I mean,
bring maps, so we're like, or what do you do?
Oh, yeah, the hand maps. Yeah. Yeah,
the glove.
Yeah, yeah. Because on the flip side of what, you know, people hear a lot about Michigan is, you know, luckily that Aaron and I, we've had some really good success on a lot of caliber deer that you just don't normally see in Michigan every day. So it would be, it's a flip side of all the bad, you know what I mean? So
let's cover it all. I mean, that would be fun. Let's do
break
that.
It down.
I would love that.
Yeah, and just for your guys' sake too, like David, he's kind of like an underground guy. Like, he's killed some really good Michigan deer, like on a consistent basis.
Good.
Yeah. So like, he's been there, done it. Like,
that says a lot.
Yeah. And he's, I don't know. I value his opinion and how he approaches things. And it's just like all of us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Fits right in. So yeah, he's a very humble guy. So I'd say it for him. But he's as well as impressive from Michigan.
Yeah, yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah. How about like Aaron said, though, it's always been underground. You know, like me coming on here or there, and like this is something totally new. He's like so worried about like, oh shit, who's gonna listen? You know what I mean?
Like,
we can't drop names. We can't talk about roads or anything like that.
Yeah, okay, so he killed a buck last year in Michigan. What is 154?
He's 158. Yeah,
158. 12 other guys hunted the property.
Mm-hmm.
And he killed a 158 on it, and he hunted him multiple years.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a
good buck in any state. Yeah.
Nobody knew he was chasing him.
Yeah.
And
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll show you some pictures.
He's exposed now.
Yeah.
He's out there now.
He's a stud.
Yep. but for the guys on TikTok, when they see it in the background, yes, I did buy that at a garage sale, so don't worry about that.
on the talk. That's funny.
No.
That's great.
I tell you, I hear you guys talk about Old Barn Taxidermy quite a bit. So I was out in Iowa in 2020, and that's where we took the bucks to. Had them mounted there and processed there. That place is
top notch.
Oh, top notch.
Phenomenal.
I wish they were closer to us.
They're the best.
He
needs to open a Michigan branch of Old Barn.
He should.
Sam's that type of guy. If you pitched it, you know, if you could convince him, he'd be like, I'll look into it.
I could help spearhead it in central Michigan, make it centrally located for everybody to drive within a couple hours to do it.
Dude, his operation, though, they just got it pegged from every angle.
Oh, really?
Like, he's just got it nailed down.
It's turnkey, man.
It is.
It is.
Yeah.
It's everything underneath one roof.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we killed out there on night one, and we rolled it, you know, because I had to do the homework of, like, okay, we're here for 10 days. If we kill one, what are we going to do with it? You know what I mean? And I knew traveling back to Michigan, and we rolled in there, and they had, like, these big trailers out back. Boy, they just grabbed that deer and just put it on this, like, track system and just right out there, you know. And we debated of you know, do we take it back home or what do we do? And I said, man, I'm such a believer in, like, the people in Iowa, they know what Iowa deer look like, and I get it. They're whitetails, right? Everyone kind of knows what they look like, but I'm like, you shoot one in Iowa, get it mounted there. You know what I mean? Like, they have an eye for that Iowa deer, so that's what we did. And they actually crated the whole thing up. Shipping wasn't cheap. They crated the whole thing up, and when we uncrated it, it was like hanging on the wall in the crate, you know, like perfect.
That's cool.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, it was wild.
That always makes
me Sam's
nervous.
Got all of his, like, he's doing forms now, right? His own forms.
G2 forms.
That's sweet.
And I didn't know he has like a whole separate building out there. It's where Old Barn is, but nobody really knows about it.
Yeah, so that's the one I killed in 2021 right there.
That's
a
beautiful buck, dude.
Yeah.
That mount's awesome too.
Yeah, that's a let's see.
Yeah, I like that. Dude, your basement, is that, I'm assuming that's a basement?
Yep.
That looks awesome.
Good. Yeah, here's a can't see a video. I'm a big wall pedestal fan. Yeah. I really like the look of that.
Looks awesome.
That's one of my favorite, like, frame type bucks.
Oh, yeah, tight, you know? Tall.
I am too. Like, someday, like, yeah. Dude, give me 165 with 14 inch spread, like, all day. Cause that just means he's got mass, he's just got tines.
He goes straight up.
But that's awesome. That's a stud, dude.
Yeah.
That's a Michigan buck, huh?
Yep. Yep.
Damn,
yep.
People hate you up there, huh?
Well, nobody knows about him. Tell me now.
Until you exposed him.
How did Aaron convince you?
Yeah. It took some convincing, but he's a good host. He talks well, and he knows the game, so it's like, it's a no-brainer. And I thought it was, like, literally trying to take a page out of your guys' book, something I don't bring on is, like, the deer camp talk, like, bullshit.
Yeah.
Be able to have somebody bounce ideas off, and it's like,
for
it's
sure.
going to be way better. Makes me a better host,
here
too.
Here is the night we recovered him.
Man.
Oh, cool,
that's
deer.
Awesome. Badass.
Yeah. He was a stud, man.
That's a nice buck.
They don't come around often like that, you know. Not to get too deep into the Michigan thing, but, like, a deer of that caliber is probably once every 5 years around the area.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
Wow.
You know, like, this year.
That's a stud, though, anywhere, though.
Anywhere.
No,
right.
That's like,
you know, you're not going to want 60.
Like, you're subconsciously downplaying it a little bit because it's Michigan.
Is.
But, like,
he's humble.
I shoot that buck every year, no matter where.
Yeah.
No matter what state.
Yep. Yeah, but, yeah, it's they're hard to just find like that, you know, covering a lot of ground like that. But, you know, a lot of that 110 to kind of that 130-ish deer, you know, we can find those. You know, I killed the deer this year. Is probably just going to be just shy of about 130, but those big ones, man, every once in a while.
Yeah, well, and to go to his point, like, that was the biggest deer he had on camera this year. He was the 130. And he shot him on the ground this year, you know, and he's a stud. He's a 10. His name was Wispy. He didn't really have a lot of
mass,
but
he was hurting.
So 100 and like 130 inch buck around us. That's, you know, product of our environment. Right. Yeah. It's, you know, that's a good deer.
Yeah. You got to think Michigan record books start at 105. So when you hear guys say, oh, I have X amount of bucks in the Michigan record books. Remember that starts
it's a handicap.
It starts at 105.
Nobody knows that though.
Yeah, like, a lot of people think, you know, that 125, that Pope and Young mark. Or no, Michigan's actually 105. Like,
oh, I didn't know
books.
That.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because a lot of guys say they don't really bring that up.
When I see a Michigan guy come up, I'll be like, that means nothing.
Yeah. So how many 105s you got?
Yeah. How many 105s?
Is that a Michigan Pope and Young or just straight Pope and Young?
Yeah.
Hey, what are we talking? What scale? That's hilarious. No, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had anyone tell me, like, I got 10 Michigan record book bucks. I don't know if I've ever heard that.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to pay attention.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Cool, fellas. I'm going to let you guys go here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you
thanks
guys.
For having us
appreciate
on.
Appreciate it, Eric.
Yep.
Hey, man, nice meeting you, man.
Yeah, we're going to drink some beer tonight.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Yep. Sounds good.
Terrible handshake.
Nice
we do that over
terrible.
Here.
Yeah.
There you go, is that a wussy handshake?
Just, it was.
Like one of these.
Smash each other's fingers.
I got little sausage fingers.
Just pitching
when you
fingers.
Get two guys that have little fingers together and it's just like one of these.
Yeah.
Just there.
Like a fairy handshake.
Like, and then you're like, your hand's sweaty. You're like, fuck, we got to redo that.
Yeah. I feel gayer. I want to ask him.
Yeah. Just, hey, can we actually redo that real quick?
Yeah. He's like, hey, dude, I know we just met, but that was gay.
It was gay. Not that that's bad. If you like that. Seinfeld episode, you got to watch it.
Yeah. That's funny. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
All right, there you have it. Thank you guys very much for coming on and doing that. When you're at ATA, if you guys have never been, it's very busy. Now you get pulled in so many directions. Kurt and I tried to get that thing, you know, scheduled for 2 days, basically. Either I was doing something or he had something going on. So we finally got it done and, you know, about a 40-some minute podcast. It was good. So thank you guys very much for doing that. If you guys have been living under a rock and don't know who Working Class is, go check them out. Their podcast is awesome. And go give them a like, subscribe, follow, all that stuff, and do the same for the fall. Spread the word. Thank you guys very much, and we'll be right here next time on the Fall Podcast.